As we continue chapter by chapter, verse by verse, we'll be in 1 Corinthians, starting in chapter 2. So grab a Bible. If you need a Bible, that's our gift to you. It's in the back of the chair. You may take it. Promise you'll read it. Or, as the Lord leads, give it to somebody else who needs to read it. Bible is truth. Amen. All right. Lord, just thank you for your word. And I just pray that today, as we reflect on the cross, your amazing sacrifice, Father, that we never forget the great and wonderful love you have for us, the great and wonderful mercy you have for us, and the great and wonderful grace you have for us. Praise you for that, in Jesus' name. Ever tried to be a salesman? Some of you are very good at being a salesman. Or a saleswoman, to be politically correct, salesperson. You know, you're good at marketing. You're good at knowing what to do and what's the hot thing and what's the good thing, what's the bad thing, and all that stuff. Paul tried the marketing approach as he was first starting the ministry. In Acts 5, he went to a church, or went to a city, I believe it's Philippians, and Ephesus. He tried the same approach too. And after he finished standing up and speaking, with an elegant speech, he's trying to win over the Greeks. The Greeks were great and trained at logic and arguing and debating. Only a few came to know Christ. And so when he goes to Corinth, which was also full of elegant and fantastic people and salesmen, many talented speakers were there too. Many talented speakers would get up and lead people away from the truth because they just didn't even know the truth yet. And the truth is that Jesus came to earth, lived a perfect life, dying for the sins of the world, and rose again. And the three greatest words that we can ever remember are, "It is finished," on the cross. Finished. Not "I love you," not "a new car," not "pass the bacon." It's "I love you, it is finished." It is finished, because the work was done when Jesus obeyed the Father and paid the terrible price that we deserved and set us free from our sins. Free from death, free from the punishment of sin, free from to receive the blessings and living a life in Christ and for Christ. It's that simple message of the cross that Paul got. And so when he goes to Corinth, he teaches Christ crucified. It's how Paul started the church at Corinth, for it's at the foot of the cross where there it's the power to change lives, the power to seek and to have a forgiven life, the power to understand, to demonstrate the love of Christ, because Jesus suffered and he died and on the cross for our sins. 1 Corinthians 2 and 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you." You're so wise. You know this. You've been studying philosophy for years. The only thing I know is that, excuse me, "for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling." He was weak in fear and trembling because in other places he would get beat up and ran out of town. And so he had the reputation of the city of Corinth. And it's like, "I'm fearful to go, but you know what? I'm going anyway. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And that power of God comes through the relationship we have with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Because there's many clever, persuasive speeches bombarding you all the time. Many debates. Think of all the hype that we have now. Because two teams are going to go and play a game in a week. Right? The dedicated hours and hours of whether this wide receiver is better than this other wide receiver. Come on, okay? Right?
We can easily be distracted from the purposes in life.
Then that purpose in life is to love God through Jesus Christ and to love others.
Paul says, to the Galatian church, he says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing but the cross of Jesus, Him crucified, that changes people's lives, that solves problems, that sets us free from our sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so you're here today, you might have some more questions because of the distractions of the world or the persuasive arguments of the world. Am I really loved? By the way, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. What is love? Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love for us is this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why were you yet sinners? That's the demonstration of love. God loves you, will continue to love you, even though we still mess up. You know, He loved us so much that we were rebels, that His Son died for us. So how much more do you love Him now that you have placed your faith and trust in Him and you turned your sin and repented and confessed? Never doubt the power of the cross, the power of His love, of Christ crucified. His love is eternal. It's more significant than any love on earth. Sure, human love is powerful, isn't it? It's really a strong emotion, but isn't it ridiculous when you think about it? You know, young people, you see that attractive girl across in the class or at the mall. And you go and you get all woozy and your head gets all fuzzy. And you wake up and you're all in a sweat and you're going, oh man, she looked at me. I know she did. She must have. Oh, she smiled at me. I saw it. Oh, should I go talk to her? What do I say? I don't know what to say. What if she doesn't say it? Tells me to get lost. Oh my gosh. Wow. And usually you go and talk to her and it comes out in a series of grunts. Oh. Or ladies, right? Young ladies, you look at the guys and you go, oh, look at those washboard ads. That stomach, this scruffy beard. This guy is scorching. Oh, it's got to be love. He's the one. I love him. Why? My stomach's all gurgly. You ever think maybe it's just something you ate? I don't know. It's he. It's he. He's the one. But is it he? Is he or she? Is they willing to sacrifice his needs and his wants or her needs and her wants to make you a better person, to point you to Christ? Are they the ones that draw you closer to Christ or away from Christ? That is true love. And then you have to picture them in 30 years. When the effects of sin has worn them down. When the washboard abs has turned into the big washboard, not so much. Right? Are you willing? Are they willing? Are they willing to be the ones that put your needs, your wants, your desires above themselves? Are they willing to rush you to the emergency room when your gallbladder is infected? Are they willing to ignore the wrinkles and the sags and the bags and the unsightly hair that grows in strange places? Are they willing to ignore the unusual smells? Can they forgive you for the numerous dumb things that you say and will say out of frustration, out of anger, or what, out of spite? Are they willing to do that? Are they willing to struggle through life with you? Are they willing to bring you closer to Christ? Is Christ crucified the number one priority in their life, or is it other things? You see, God's love is based on His love for us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did that. In spite of not knowing Him, in spite of men mocking Him, in spite of people using His name in vain, in spite of people not believing in Him, in spite of committing all sorts of sins in the pursuit of pleasure and happiness and freedoms, it's my right,
I can do what I want. In spite of that, he died for us, and he took the punishment for our sins that you and me deserved. Count the cost coming to Christ. The issue is, if you do, you put Jesus above everything and everyone else? Do you follow him more than anything else? More than sports, more than hobbies, more than school, more than relationships, more than jobs, more than family? Do you put his relationship a priority, the number one thing in your life? Because his love is eternal, and you cannot be separated through time. It cannot be quenched by trials and your sins. It is a priceless, endless gift that is accepted, hopefully, and cherished and nurtured, so your love for Jesus is as strong as his love for you. Because the cross is precious. His precious blood flowed for you and for me. The power of the cross to wash away my sins is the core of Christianity, and it's the answer to every problem in the world. Christ crucified is a definition of love. There's also a definition of forgiveness. Forgiveness. As I said before, Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and he gave his life so others can live. And where sin abounds, grace abounds yet more, Paul declared in Romans. In the flow of Christ's forgiveness, his atoning blood is endless. And no matter what you're trapped in, no matter what you're doing, no matter how serious, whether it was years ago or whether it was yesterday, because of the cross, forgiveness is available to all of us. And praise the Lord for the cross because of forgiveness. Otherwise, we'd be living our lives in regret and living our lives and going, "What is going on? I've tried it my way. I'm going to give it to you." Because no sin is too great for you to find forgiveness in Christ. As we read in Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and is in spirit there is no deceit." Aren't you glad you are forgiven? So why do we live our lives as unforgiven people? We are so forgiven, completely and totally. And when we have that and realize that, it's because of Christ crucified on the cross. His great debt we pay. We make a mockery of it when we go through life full of bitterness and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. And there's so many of us, sure, bad things have happened and terrible things have happened to us. And there's terrible things and tragedy that might happen to us and probably will happen to us. But forgiveness is part of God's nature. And since we are forgiven, it is our privilege and our joy to forgive others from the heart. Because when we do that, we can experience the joy of being free from guilt and free from shame and free from bitterness and free from anger. Someone asked C.S. Lewis once, "What is the founded Christianity that is in no other religion?" He thought about it for a while. He said, "The forgiveness of sins. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive our debtors." You see, people fail. You see in the news, people fail all the time. And there's something about our world where we want to just make fun of people who fail, especially those rich and famous ones, right? The dudes, they mess up and it's like it's all over the news. And it's like 10 minutes or 10 seconds of fame and it keeps on going because it's so easy to rub it in. And as believers, because of the cross and Christ crucified, we resist the temptation to go, "I told you so," right? This is what we don't. "For by grace we are saved, and we err on the side of grace upon grace upon grace." Because the cross is the standard of how much we are to forgive. How much has Christ forgiven you? He died for you. And so how much do we are to forgive? On the cross, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgiveness is how God safeguards our hearts and our minds so that the hard root of bitterness doesn't creep in and rob us of our joy. So our hearts are still pliable and open to his love and his forgiveness. And Ephesians says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Have you forgiven like Jesus? Or are there people in your life that you're still holding on a grudge or bitterness or anger? Let it go. Because Christ forgives you and has forgiven you for the sins that you've done, the sins that you will do in the future too. So, forgiveness. The cross is a symbol of forgiveness. And the cross, Christ crucified, is also a symbol of hope. It's really odd, but it is a symbol of hope because, look, on this cross, we do not see Him. He is not there, for He is gone. Where is He? Where is the Lord? He is risen. He's not there anymore. He died and He rose again. It's a symbol of hope. You are crucified with Christ, your old self. Galatians 2 and 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so when we try to add to the cross by doing good things or having a list of what not to do or a list of what I should do, or maybe it's not even you're here and you're not getting caught doing the bad things you're already doing, right? It's the cross of Christ, His unmerited favor, His grace that allows to experience the richness of the blessings from God. His crucifixion paid the price in full. So we try not to add to the cross by making a list of do's and don'ts, but we choose each moment and each day to live by faith in Christ. It's the cross that gives us hope. Christ lives in me and you, so choose this day who you will serve. And each moment we have those choices, do we not? I'm going to have that extra creamy filled donut, even though it's my fourth one. Okay? A temptation, whatever it is. Lord, help me, I'm struggling with donuts. Right? The Lord has given you the power over any addiction or any struggle you have because on the cross, don't shame the cross. He says, honor me, love me, serve me, obey me. I died for you. And when we look at the cross and think of what He has done for us, then we go, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to live for you. Because Christ lives in me and you, and we're all, the old has gone away, the old self. We are new creations in Christ, and we want to just love Him and serve Him. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That hope and that righteousness. It's the hope we have. The cross also gives us that hope. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. As believers, we should be so joyful and happy. It should be just amazing life that we have, no matter what happens to us, because we have that hope of the resurrection because of the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we put ourselves in God's capable hands, and we wait for Him to work, and we know and trust on God's promises that He will never leave us or forsake us, and He will call us home, and His love's just taking care of us. And so in our lives, we think about Christ and we think about Him crucified. Accept Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And in our lives, let's think about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and remind you of what a great price that the Lord paid for us. And remind you that it is Him we love, it is Him we serve above anything else. Because the cross is screaming, look what Jesus did for you.
Look what Jesus did for your neighbor. Look what Jesus did for the lost. Look what Jesus did for everybody. Because the key to evangelism, telling others about Jesus, is you teach Christ crucified. Because people desperately need to be forgiven. And they desperately need a Savior for their sins. The cross is the key. It's the cornerstone of church and church unity. It's a central theme of the church. It's the reason the church exists. It's to see Christ and what He's done. And so we spontaneously can break out in praise and worship. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you for the cross. The cross and Him crucified is the key for people to see the seriousness of sin. For it was my sin and your sin that caused the pain, the humiliation, the spitting, the mocking, the scourging, the suffering, the bleeding in the broken heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's our sins that put Him there. Christ crucified is the key to problems, is the key to marriage, as Jesus is the example of self-sacrifice, of putting others first and that other person first. It's the emptying of all His rights and His needs, and it's the emptying of all our rights and my needs and my wants and putting others first out of service and out of love and completely and wholeheartedly. So we look to the cross as an example in our marriages. The cross takes care of all of our addictions. As I said before, the old is gone away, crucified. We're a new creation, and that old is gone and has no power over us. And so just as forcibly as you can imagine those nails going into our Lord's wrists and feet, nail your addictions and your sins that you struggle with once and for all on the cross, because He paid dearly for them. Your sin was defeated and nailed, and as He said, it is finished. And so when you're tempted by that old sinful nature that causes those cravings, think of the cross and crush every fleshy desire. The cross is something by which we die to ourselves, to our own desires, and so that we lay down our lives to serve Jesus and others. And we bear this cross willingly. Jesus bared it willingly by letting go of our life, and we take up our cross and actually live a life. And the Bible tells us that we live this life as Christians. We have life and life abundantly. Isn't your life wonderful because you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? You have abundance in life. And when we are living and we think about the cross, that focus of Christ crucified, we don't think about ourselves. We think thoughts like, who can I help today? Who can I pray for? I wonder if the missionaries need something. What can I get my eyes off of, and how can I look to Jesus? Because when we look to Him and realize the cross, and realize the great price He paid, then we realize how great a God we have. We live our life with total abandon towards Him. And so we give away the sadness. We give away the grumbling. We give away the worry and anxiety of the unpaid bills. We give away the worry and the anxiety of the health problems. We give away the worry and the fear and the anxiety and the stresses in life, because Jesus Christ crucified on the cross solves the problems of the world. And so let's teach Christ crucified. Let's keep the message simple. It's so simple, yet it's so deep and so profound. And when you look at Jesus and look at Christ crucified, He will give you the answers, the wise counsel, by telling others what a great and amazing God we have and what a great and amazing sacrifice Christ crucified on the cross of God. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your Son. We praise you that we can have a relationship with you. Cross is very special. Lord, thank you we are forgiven. Thank you we are so, so forgiven. And thank you for paying the price for our sins.